We go. We're good to go. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to continue our study, paper 133. This is part four, The Return from Rome, and that's on page 1477.7 in the original book, or paper 133.6.1 in the rest of them. Let me change the slide here so there you go. There we go. Hey, Diane, you want to start us in?
Okay. At Ephesus, discourse on the soul. One, no, not as number one. On leaving Athens, the travelers went by way of Troas to Ephesus, the capital of the Roman province of Asia. They made many trips out to the famous temple of the Ar Artemis of the Ephesians. Not very good with these words. About 2 miles from the city, Artemis, why don't you just read this, was the most famous goddess of all Asia Minor and a perpetuation of the still earlier mother goddess of ancient Antonine times. The crude idol exhibited in the enormous temple dedicated to her worship was reputed to have fallen from heaven. Not all of Gained's early training of respect images as symbols of divinity had been eradicated, and he thought it best to purchase a little silver sh shrine in order in honor of it, of this fertility goddess of Asia Minor. That night, they talked a great deal, great length about the worship of things made with human hands.
So even though he'd spent all this time with Jesus, he still couldn't get over his superstition of the god the goddess of fertility. And this is a I have a lot of pictures in here, and I'll let you go out online or look at them on the website of the goddess. And there she is.
She's beautiful.
Of course,
Roger,
yeah.
because it was the goddess of Asia Minor, I think that includes India, correct?
Includes India and China,
So
right?
he would have been familiar.
Oh, yeah. That's why he probably had superstition about going ahead and purchase a, just to be safe, right?
To be safe.
On the third day of their stay, they walked down by the river to absorb the dredging of the harbor's mouth, since we saw that. At noon, they talked with a young Phoenician who was homesick and much discouraged, but most of all, he was envious of a certain young man who had received promotion over his head. Jesus spoke comforting words to him and quoted the old Hebrew proverb. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. So, trying to help him with his problem there, right? All right, Rodney, would you take the next one?
Of all the large cities they visited on this tour of the Mediterranean, they here accomplished the least of value to the subsequent work of the Christian missionaries. Christianity secured its start in Ephesus, largely through the efforts of Paul, who resided here more than 2 years, making tents for a living and conducting lectures on religion and philosophy each night in the main audience chamber of the school of Tyrannus.
That's right. So Paul the Apostle was the first one that, to go there to Ephesus and teach Christianity, right? All right. Pam, are you ready yet? Okay.
There was a progressive thinker connected with this local school of philosophy, and Jesus had several profitable sessions with him. In the course of these talks, Jesus had repeatedly used the word soul. This learned Greek finally asked him what he meant by soul, and he replied,
Okay, this is Jesus's reply when he was asked about the soul. And it's a short one, Gary, so I think you'll be able to take
Yeah.
it.
The soul is a self-reflective, truth-discerning, and spirit-perceiving part of man, which forever elevates the human being above the level of the animal world. Self-consciousness in and of itself is not the soul. Moral self-consciousness is true human self-realization and constitutes the foundation of the human soul, and the soul is that part of man which represents the potential survival value of human experience. Moral choice and spiritual attainment, the ability to know God and the urges to be like him, are the characteristics of the soul. The soul of man cannot exist apart from mortal thinking and spiritual activity. A stagnant soul is a dying soul, but the soul of man is destined from
Is
the divine.
distinct,
Is
distinct.
distinct. Yeah. Excuse me. But the soul of man is distinct from the divine spirit, which dwells within the mind. The divine spirit arrives spontaneously with the first moral activity of the human mind, and that is the occasion of the birth of the soul.
Okay, so this paragraph is very, very important. Okay, so what he's trying to explain to these people is this: the soul itself is a separate entity within the human being itself, and the thought adjuster is a separate one. That's what he's talking about. The divine spirit
Correct.
arrives with the first moral activity. That's the thought adjuster. Now, the soul is that part of man that the thought adjuster teaches and trains throughout your moral and spiritual life. And those memories are the ones that you retain when you wake up on the mansion worlds. It's not just your mindal memories. Many, and if not most, of your memories will disappear because they don't have anything to do with building your soul.
Roger.
Okay, yeah.
To me, I think the most important sentence here is the soul of man cannot exist apart from moral thinking and spiritual activity.
That's right. Because why? Because the soul, if you have no moral thinking and spiritual activity, then you're never adding to the soul itself. You're just living,
It
right?
becomes stagnant.
You become stagnant. You're exactly like the animals who don't have souls. Okay.
Correct.
So you don't retain anything because you've not built anything of lasting value. And that's the most important thing. By living a moral, self-conscious life, then you're adding to the building of your soul over your lifetime so that when you awaken on the mansion worlds, you have memories and realizations that are worthy of survival.
Sure.
Okay? Let me give you one other clue here too about the soul. If you never live a moral life and you never have spiritual values, will you wake up in the more mansion world? Probably not. Why? Because you have nothing of spiritual value to revive. Okay? So you're just like the animals, just exactly like the animals.
So you might think of the soul like a coin purse, and perchance you've got a penny in there. But whereas if your moral thinking and spiritual activity, you could fill the bag up with coins.
You can't. Fill it all the way up to overflowing. And that's what the thought adjuster is trying to do your entire life. You know, when they talk about the thought, when we've studied the thought adjuster and we've learned that the thought adjuster, when you sleep, takes all these experiences during the day or whatever and tries to add those to your spiritual remembrance in your soul so that when you awaken, you'll remember these things. So anything you do in this life, that is spiritually or morally worthwhile, you will remember when you wake up. Okay? But all those things that are non-spiritual and non-moral will fall away like scaffolding. They won't come back.
Can I ask
Okay?
you a question?
Yeah.
See how, if a baby dies before it makes its first moral decision.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Okay. Does he wake up in heaven in the nursery?
Yes.
Even though he hasn't had his thought adjuster sent.
No, he even though he hasn't had his thought adjuster sent, the angels will transport him to the nursery and he will awaken on the nursery when the first parent arrives in the mansion world, and he will receive a thought adjuster. He or she will receive a thought adjuster just like they would on this planet when they make their first moral decision on in the nursery world.
So just what is transported, the personality? Because he does not have a
Does
soul.
have a soul, but the personality is transported.
Okay.
Remember, the personality is separate from the soul, right?
Correct.
The
It's your
mind
identity.
is the identity. That's right. The personality is from God the Father. It's part of the God the Father circuit. The mind itself is part of the infinite spirit circuit, the mind circuit, right? So you have, if you think about it, you have three different parts. You have the mind, which is memories here on the planet. You have personality, which is how you relate to mind and spiritual things on the planet. And then you have the soul, which is really the transcript of your spiritual, moral life. So when you wake up on the mansion world, all three of these have to come back together. And that's why they get transported by three different beings, right? If you think about it, the mind circuit and the mind circuit gets transported by, if I remember this correct, the guardian angel, and then the personality is guaranteed by an archangel, okay? And what brings the soul? The thought adjuster.
Thought adjuster.
Soul train. Soul train. That's right. Okay, so you got three different parts, and when you awaken, all three of these parts are put back together. So when you're conscious eyes, the archangel has to make sure that it's you, your personality, right? The guardian angel has to make sure that your mind, you're of the mind, same mind you were when you left the planet. And then the soul is the transcript of your moral and spiritual life that comes alive, being transported by the thought adjuster. And when you waken up, the thought adjuster is reinstilled within you until the point where you fuse, right? And when you fuse, you all these things come together into one being. Does that make sense?
So,
Good.
an aborted baby, how would that happen?
An aborted
A
baby,
fetus?
a fetus, as far as I understand, it would wake up on in the on the father's infant world
Nursery.
nursery as a brand new person.
As soon
Okay,
as
then
all those people that abort babies have to meet him again.
they have to meet, they have to make a decision whether they're going to decide whether to raise them or not. Yeah, because they're attached to those individuals. I don't care how many aborted babies you have. You still have to face the fact that you brought life into this world. And so you have to answer for that life.
So as soon as the spark of life sparks into the embryo, it's considered a person,
A
personality.
person, but there's a caveat to that, Rodney. The way I understand it in years and years of studied is this: it's a person soon as that spark of life is installed. It's,
Personality.
yeah, it's not a sanctioned human until birth.
Correct.
Okay? So until you take that first breath of air, you're not a sanctioned human. Okay? The difference being this, the way they would handle you on the mansion worlds or whatever would be totally different. Right?
So the aborted child is handled, you said, it differently. The mother has to make a choice to raise it or not.
Yeah, or the father, or
And the
both.
father.
Yeah, both are responsible. You don't get away from the responsibility. If you give them the sperm or you give them the egg, you're responsible. It's a paired thing. Life doesn't come from one or the other, it comes from both. Just like the universe was not created with just Jesus, it was created with Jesus and the local universe mother spirit. You have to have both. Boy, y'all are in for a treat. Let me tell you
That's
what your treat's going to be tonight.
so what you're saying is we had a miscarriage early many years ago.
Yeah.
We'll have that we'll meet that child in the future.
You'll have the opportunity. And if you do not take that opportunity, then someone like me who's never had children gets the opportunity to raise that child.
Stepdaddy.
Stepdaddy.
Okay.
Just like I'm stepdaddy to all the geese out front
You know
and all
what?
the cats in the house.
If you get that child, I got news for you. You may be in for some trouble.
Never. Let me tell you what the treat's going to be, and that way everybody else can hear it that's listening to this video. Today I worked on two videos. I did my dual video, my deep dive with two people. You know, I write the script and all that stuff, and then I use two artificial voices to make the script come alive and create a podcast out of it. And the first one is the podcast of the dual people for chapter six. And then I also write a script for just myself because I want to give the opportunity for people to understand what we're talking about in each one of these chapters in two different ways. One's question and answer and that sort of thing. And the other one is me talking through all the important information that is in that chapter, much of which I didn't, I went through in the original video, but much of it I didn't have time to go through in the original video because we were reading and other things. So I did both of these today and put them out on YouTube, and they'll be posted tomorrow morning about 7 o'clock, I think. It's when they're coming out. But what I'll do is I'll send a copy of the links to everyone, like I always do. I'll do that tomorrow. So the one that I did, both of them are excellent, but the one I did on myself is the one that's got my picture on the front of it. There's two of them, one with my picture and one without. The one that's got my picture on the front of it is me talking all the way through it. And I think I've done the best job I ever have done explaining the evolution of Jesus from the beginning of time all the way through the seven stools.
No kidding.
Yeah. So it's a real treat. I worked on it both of those all day. It took me all morning to do one and all afternoon to do the other. So, but I want to
Right.
mention that. So if you're watching this video, go out and look for chapter six on both of them and under the podcast. So both of them are named podcasts. So,
That's on the who, what, and where.
yeah, Jesus, who, what, when, and where.
Who,
That's
what.
right. And it's on chapter six. I've done each chapter so far. I'm up to chapter six. So I haven't done the inspirational quotes for chapter six yet. I'll probably work on that in the next couple of days. Again, let me remind everybody, I will not be here Thursday. I have to take my mother from the nursing home over to the doctor and back to the nursing home, and I couldn't get an appointment except in the afternoon, so I won't make it back. So let y'all know, won't be here Thursday. Okay, so any questions on the soul of man?
No.
Nope. So y'all are all on the soul, right? Let's keep going, Diane.
The saving or losing of a soul has to do with whether or not the moral consciousness attains survival status through eternal alliance with its associated immortal spirit endowment. Salvation is the spiritualization of the self-realization of the moral consciousness, which thereby becomes possessed of survival value. All forms of soul conflict consist in the lack of harmony between the moral or spiritual self-consciousness and the purely intellectual self-consciousness.
This is the battle of man from the beginning of time, right? The lack of harmony between moral or spiritual self-consciousness and the purely intellectual self-consciousness. In other words, you're so smart, you're stupid. I mean, that's what it boils down to, right? And saving or losing a soul has to do with the moral consciousness survival gives us through the alliance of our intellectual self with our spiritual self. So if you want to know how to be saved, how would that be? It would be by aligning your intellectual self with your spiritual self. And they call it in the Urantia book the badge of ascension. You remember that term?
No, but that's okay.
All right. The badge of ascension's when you come to the realization that life is all about your moral and spiritual choices, not what's going on around you in this world. Okay? And they call that the badge of ascension. Why would you think they call it the badge of ascension? Because when you realize your survival is connected to your moral and spiritual life, and you accept the fact that you will always try to do the will of God in your life and treat all your brothers as yourself, that's the whole trick, right? When you come to that realization, what do you gain? Salvation. Okay. In other words, when you come to that decision, then when you die, you are going to wake up on the mansion worlds because you've gone from being just a mortal to what? An immortal soul.
Roger, another way to approach that this would be from the teachings of Jesus, because he taught us to become consciously aware that we are sons of God.
That's exactly right.
And I think it falls in line.
It right in line with this. This is what he's talking about, right? If we realize we're sons of God, we're going to treat brothers and sisters the way we should. And we're
Because you
going to,
realize they're your
yeah,
brother's
they're
sister.
part of the consciousness of the universe. You know, it's really funny after just working on this paper today, it fits right in with this because what it teaches us is this: there is no universe past this world without Jesus. None.
Correct.
Jesus is our creator, our God. Okay, for
He's the
this,
door.
he's the door. That's why he called himself the door to eternity, and that's exactly what he is, because all beings in this local universe, number one, you have to certainly acknowledge that God, Jesus, is God. Sooner or later, or you won't go past the door, right? That's just the way it is. It's not about being saved from your sins. Your sins are diddly. Doesn't mean anything because God forgives sin. All right. If God didn't forgive sin, we'd all be going out and killing animals every morning. Right, because we sin a lot. All right, so since God forgives sin, Jesus's connection is the fact that he is our God of this local universe. So you cannot go past this life in the flesh and get into the local universe level at all without doing what? Acknowledging God, acknowledging Jesus, which is Michael.
You
Makes.
actually have to. You come face to face with him and pass through him.
That's right. That's the only way. There is no other way. Okay, and that's it's you know, and you heard it over and you've heard it over and over and over and over again in your life that Jesus died for your sins. Jesus didn't die for your sins. Jesus died to fulfill his seventh bestowal. Okay, that's why he died. He finished his bestowal, and by doing that, he became the sovereign of the universe. And by being the sovereign of the universe, he is your God and Father. Now, his Father is God the Father of the Trinity. the eternal father, the I am. Okay, so you can't get to one without the other. That's just all there is to it. All right, who just read? Did you just read there? You did, didn't you?
Thanks.
This human soul, when matured, ennobled, and spiritualized, approaches the heavenly status in that it comes near to being an entity intervening between the material and spiritual. Y'all catch that? The material
Morantia
self and the divine self
becomes Morantia.
because of Morantia. That's right. The evolving soul of a human being is difficult of description and more difficult of demonstration because it is not discoverable by the methods of either material investigation or spiritual proving. You can't do either one to prove there's a existence in between. Material science cannot demonstrate the existence of a soul. Neither can pure spirit testing. Notwithstanding the failure of both material science and spiritual standards to discover the existence of the human soul, every morally conscious mortal knows the existence of his soul as a real and actual personal experience. It's there, you know it's there, you don't know why it's there, you can't prove it's there, you can't see it materially, and you can't connect to it spiritually because it's separate from you at this point, isn't it? You've not fused with it. So no matter how you try, you can't prove it. It's an act of what? Faith. 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 Right? All right. Let's see, Rodney, you're up again.
Okay, 7, the sojourn at Cyprus, discourse on mind. Shortly, the travelers set sail for Cyprus, stopping at Rhodes. They enjoyed the long water voyage and arrived at their island destination, much rested in body and refreshed in spirit.
Okay, so this is their discord on, he's going to make a discord on mind on Cyprus. All right, let's go on to the next one. Pam, go ahead and sneeze and then you can read this
Yeah.
one.
It was their plan. It was their plan to enjoy a period of rest. Real rest and play on this visit to Cyprus as their tour of the Mediterranean was drawing to a close. They landed at Paphos and at once began the assembly of supplies for their sojourn of several weeks in the nearby mountains. On the third day after their arrival, they started for the hills with their well-loaded pack animals.
You know, we forget because it's so easy in this life. They had to take everything with them, you know, their food, their water, everything else, you know,
Their
it's not
belongings,
their
their
belongings, you know,
tent.
what nothing was readily available, so they had to take it with them. All right, Gary, would you take the next one?
Okay.
Yeah, we saved a
For
long one for you.
always gets it.
2 weeks, the trio greatly enjoyed themselves, and then, without warning, young Gannett was suddenly taken seriously ill. For 2 weeks, he suffered from a raging fever, oftentimes becoming delirious. Both Jesus and Gonad were kept busy attending the sick boy. Jesus skillfully and tenderly cared for the lad, and the father was amazed by both the gentleness and the adaptedness manifested in his ministry to the affected youth. They were far from human habitations, and the boy was too ill to be moved. So they prepared as best they could to nurse him back to health right there in the mountains.
Now, this always amazed me, this paragraph, because of the fact that you got Jesus here, the creator of the local universe, and unbeknowing to him at this point still, he has all this power. He could have healed the boy right there on the spot, couldn't he? But he didn't know that. So he took care of the boy the best that they possibly could.
Roger,
Yeah.
I've read this many times, but I wonder if there was some back bacteria on that little trinket he bought?
That'd be an interesting question, wouldn't it
You
be, Rod? Yeah. He got cursed by his own
know
trinket.
what
That's possible.
I mean? Hey, there
Yeah. Yep, you
it
figured it out. All right.
During Gnad's convalescence of 3 weeks, Jesus told him many interesting things about nature and her various moods, and what fun they had as they wandered over the mountains, the boy asking questions, Jesus answering them, and the father marveling at the whole performance.
I bet he did enjoy all this interaction between the two of them, didn't he? The last week of their sojourn on the mountains, Jesus and Gnad had a long talk on the functions of the human mind. After several hours of discussion, the lad asked this question, "But teacher, what do you mean when you say that man experiences a higher form of self-consciousness than do the higher animals?" And as stated modern phraseology, Jesus answered, "Rodney,
My son, I have already told you much about the mind of man and the divine spirit that lives therein. But now let me emphasize that self-consciousness is a reality. When any animal becomes self-conscious, it becomes a primitive man. Such an attainment results from a coordination of function between impersonal energy and spirit conceiving mind. And it is this phenomena which warrants the bestowal of an absolute focal point for the human personality, the spirit of the Father in heaven."
and that's exactly what happened with Andon and then later Fanta, right? The first
Correct.
two human beings. They got this attenuation of their self-consciousness and their soul. So they became moral, made a moral choice. And so they were available for a spirit of the Father in heaven, which would be the jester, right? All right. Pamela.
Ideas are not simply a record of sensations. Ideas are sensations plus the reflective interpretations of the personal self. And the self is more than the sum of one's sensations. There begins to be something of an approach to unity in an evolving selfhood. And that unity is derived from the indwelling presence of a part of absolute unity, which spiritually activates such a self-conscious animal origin mind.
So as your mind makes that connection, it connects with the spiritual at that point, and that gives you your badge of ascension, right? All right, Gary.
No mere animal could possess a times self-conscious.
Yes.
Animals possess a psychological coordination of associated sensations, recognitions, and memory thereof, but none experience a meaningful recognition of sensation or exhibit a purposeful association of these combined physical experiences, such as manifested in the conclusions of intelligence and reflective human interpretations. And this a fact of self-consciousness experience associated with the reality of his subsequent spiritual experience constitutes a man, excuse me, constitutes man a potential son of the universe and foreshadows his eventual attainment of the supreme unity of the universe.
Because of this self-association and this experiential value of the experience itself sets it up for human beings to eventually take that experience and put it into the supreme and unify with the supreme with all the other experiences in the universe, right? And it's interesting here, they say the combined physical experience manifested and the conclusion of intellectual and intelligent and reflective human interpretations. So it's all in how we interpret him. But at the very beginning of this paragraph, he does say this too. No mere animal could possess a time self-consciousness. Did y'all see that? So
No.
animals don't conceive of time. They only conceive of experience. So when any being becomes time conscious, he is what? He is human. You got it? So only humans become time consciousness. There is no time consciousness of an animal. Now, let me give you an example of this that actually kind of spells this out. Animals remember experiences, but they don't have a consciousness of time. Okay? Let me give you an example of this. On our back porch where we have our cat habitat, I have about six feral cats that we adopted years ago. And we give every night before I retire for the night, I give the cat that's in my bedroom, Bobby, treats. Okay. And when they saw me through the window giving Bobby treats, they all started congregating outside the window. So every night I have to stick my hand out the window and give each one of them a little bit of treats. You know, it's about six of them out there. And I can't miss any of them because they get really upset and fight with each other. Now,
Course.
you would say, well, they knew it was time. No, they don't. This is a trained experience. They know that when they see Bobby getting his treats, it's time for theirs too,
That's
right?
exactly right.
So they have to congregate. Now, it's kind of funny because I got two of the cats. Soon as it gets dark, she comes up to the window and plops down there, and another one plops down there at the window, waiting for their treats. Okay?
They did that in the morning too.
They do it in the morning too. Now you say, well, they must know it's time. No, they don't. It gets dark, so they know in the dark time or the dark time, it's time for me to go to bed. So they want to get their treats before I retire, right? But it's an example of how these animals don't possess a time consciousness. They have an experience consciousness. That's the whole point, right? Because they've had the experience of getting these treats every night and every morning, they line up for it. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
All right. Let's see here. Diane, you're back up again.
Neither is the human self merely the sum of the successive states of consciousness. Without the effective functioning of a consciousness sorter and associator, there would not exist sufficient unity to warrant the designation of a selfhood. Such an ununified mind could hardly attain conscious levels of human status. If the associations of consciousness were just an accident, the minds of all men would then exhibit the uncontrolled and random associations of certain phases of mental madness.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Roger,
Yeah.
I'm curious, the consciousness sorter.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's talking of the thought adjuster.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
Okay,
Okay,
so without.
that consciousness sorter is that part of God the Father that allows us to associate, excuse me, moral choice and spirituality, okay? Because if
Correct.
it's not a moral choice or a spiritual choice, then whatever your brain is working on is not that important to become anything lasting, right? Because there's nothing spiritual, nothing moral about it. All right. And if there weren't this sorter, this thought adjuster within the brain, we would have a lot more incidents of madness, mental madness,
Sure.
because we have no direction in which to go to d associate that which is right and that which is wrong. So what would people be doing? They'd go around doing whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, and they'd resort back to barbarianism. And that's
It'd be a
exactly,
beast.
become beast again. That's exactly what would happen if all the thought adjusters were pulled away from the planet. It would be mass chaos. People would start killing each other like crazy, you know, because they'd have no inhibition of anything in their life.
And there are some people like that too, who are really crazy.
Yeah, there are crazy people in the world, I
Yeah, there
guarantee
is.
you. You know, a human mind built up solely out of the consciousness of physical sensations. How about the sex drive there, right? How about eating? How about all these things that we think we have to have? In reality, we don't. A human mind built up solely out of the consciousness of physical sensations could never attain spiritual levels. This kind of material mind would be utterly lacking in a sense of moral values. It would be without a guiding sense of spiritual dominance, which is so essential to achieving harmonious personality, unity, and time, and which is inseparable from the personality survival in eternity. So, if we didn't have the guidance of the thought adjuster, the material mind would have no moral values, and there would be no sense of spiritual dominance in your life. Make sense?
It does.
It's the thought adjuster that helps guide us. Now, I don't want y'all to confuse spiritual value and moral value with what we call, I'm not, lost my mind. I had the word top of my head. Getting old, you know. Conscious.
Consciousness.
No, not consciousness, conscience. Okay?
Conscience.
Conscience. Conscious is a purely mindal phenomena. Okay? Spiritual consciousness is a spiritual phenomena.
Correct.
Now, you can have a conscience without having any morals or spiritual value at all. Okay? That would be your mind making decisions intellectually without any moral input or any spiritual input. And this goes on all the
Well,
time.
yeah, well, that's an animal.
That's an animal, right? So there is a difference between the two. Okay. That's why they say in the Urantia book, having a conscience is not being connected with your moral values and your spiritual values. All
Because
right.
animals are conscious,
They're
but they
conscious.
aren't self-conscious.
They're self-conscious, and they have the first five adjutants, which in, within the first five adjutants have things like caring for one another, love, being of a herd instinct, and those sort of things, but is does not have the worship and wisdom. So that's the big difference, right? All right. They don't have thought adjusters. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Who's up next?
Rodney.
Rodney. Okay.
The human mind early begins to manifest qualities which are supermaterial. The truly reflective human intellect is not altogether bound by the limits of time. That individuals so differ in their life performances indicates not only the varying endowments of heredity and the different influences of the environment, but also the degree of unification with the indwelling spirit of the Father, which has been achieved by the self, the measure of the identification of the one with the other.
You notice here that you can't have the fatherhood of God without the brotherhood of man here?
That's
You
right.
see that? It always comes back to the same Jesus message over and over and over. And notice here it talks about the beginning of this paragraph. These are the super material, past just the material. For reflective human intellect is not altogether bound by time. So time does not necessarily have to influence this. You want to go see a good advanced a good I'm losing my mind tonight.
Good example.
Example of this. You know, it took Jesus a trillion years, not a billion, but a trillion years from the time he started on his bestowal till now. Think about that. A
Thanks.
trillion years. It was a billion years ago that he started the physical part of the local universe, but before that, he was working on it all that time, trillion billions of years before that. It's 987 or 89 billion years ago he started on our local universe.
Of course, they constructed all the spheres, the
Yeah, everything had to
architectural
come
spheres.
right. So, not everything in the universe is determined by time, is it? Because time's of no value when you're talking about spans of time that long. It
It's
means
true.
nothing, right? And we'll get that concept of time sooner or later in our minds when we go to the mansion rooms. All right, Pam, would you
Right.
take the next one?
The human mind does not well stand the conflict of double allegiance. It is a severe strain on the soul to undergo the experience of an effort to serve both good and evil. The supremely happy and efficiently unified mind is the one wholly dedicated to the doing of the will of the Father in heaven. Unresolved conflicts destroy unity and may terminate in mind disruption, but the survival character of a soul is not fostered by attempting to secure peace of mind at any price, by the surrender of noble aspirations, and by the compromise of spiritual ideals. Rather, is such peace attained by the stalwart assertion of the triumph of that which is true. And this victory is achieved in the overcoming of evil with the potent force of good.
So you always come out on the upside by sticking with good over evil, don't you? Because if you don't, you can end up in cosmic insanity eventually if you're not
Right.
careful. Now, I can't let Gary read this sentence.
It's too short.
It's too short.
Oh, go
I
ahead.
have one thing to
Go ahead.
say. I only have one thing to say. It's about time.
You want to take this for us, Gary?
Yeah. The next day they departed for
Syrian.
Salamis. Is that right?
Oh,
Yes.
Salamis, yeah, in the right.
Salamis, where they embarked on a for Antioch on the Syrian coast.
All right. Let's keep going
And in that
here.
short time, I mispronounced most of the words.
That's all right. We love you anyway. All right, Diane, you're back up, dear.
Antioch was the capital of the Roman province of Syria, and here the imperial governor had his re residence. Antioch had 500,000 inhabitants. It was the third day of the empire in
Thirteen.
size. What did I say? Oh,
Third
it
day.
was the third city of the emperor in size and the first in wickedness and flagrant immorality. Donat had considerable business to transact, so Jesus and Gennad were much by themselves. They visited everything about this polyglot city except the grove of Daphne. Gennad and Gennad visited the notorious shrine of shame, but Jesus declined to accompany them. Such scenes were not so shocking to Indians, but they were repellent to an idealistic Hebrew.
So some of the places they visited there were so bad that even Jesus wouldn't go there, you know, because they were repellent to his Hebrew nature.
What's a shrine of shame?
That's a good question, which I do not know. Bam, to be honest, I'm not familiar with this particular shrine they're talking about. So,
Would that have anything to do with a bathing out of groups
well,
of
it has
people?
something to do with promiscuity,
Promiscuity,
for
yeah.
sure.
That would be,
You
a
know,
possibility
yeah,
there.
that's a possibility. That maybe that's why they call it the Shrine of Shame, because so
I
much
had a very busy
promiscuity
I drove
there.
up to Marietta at 3 o'clock to tutor a young girl in reading, and I get home at about 5:15. I try to eat some
All right. I
quickly,
thought she was
and then
looking it
I'm
up there
on
for a
my
second.
Zoom call now.
Rodney, would you take the
Actually,
next
give
one?
me a bit of a break.
Or not, am I up next? Was I
I
up next?
just finished
You
reading.
just read. I'm supposed to read. Okay.
Don't worry.
Jesus became sober and reflective as he drew near Palestine. And the end of their journey, he visited with a few people in Antioch, but he seldom went about the city after much questioning as to why the teacher manifested so little interest in Antioch. Gnade finally induced Jesus to say, "This city is not far from Palestine. I may someday come back here
And he
sometime." And he
did.
did. And he did many times, didn't he? All right. Rodney, would you take the next one?
Gaynard had a very interesting experience in Antioch. This young man had proved himself an apt pupil and already had begun to make practical use of some of Jesus' teachings. There was a certain Indian connected with his father's business in Antioch, who had become so unpleasant and disgruntled that his dismissal had been considered. When Gained heard this, he betook himself to his father's place of business and held a long conference with his fellow countryman. This man felt he had been put at the wrong job. Gained told him about the Father in heaven and in many ways expanded his views of religion. But of all that Gained said, the quotation of a Hebrew proverb did the most good, and that word of wisdom was, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do that with all your might."
Very
A very good
perfect.
proverb.
It is whatever you do, do it well, right? All right, Pam, would you take the next one?
After preparing their luggage for the camel caravan, they passed on down to Sidon and thence over Damascus. And after 3 days, they made ready for the long trek across the desert sands. That must have been, well, I just can't imagine.
Horrible.
Me either.
And there's the, I got a couple pictures of this in there for y'all. Y'all can look at them later. We only have about five more paragraphs, so let's try to finish this up.
Yes.
Gary, would you take the next one?
Yeah. Give me just a second to adjust my screen.
All right.
Okay, nine. In Mesopotamia, the caravan trip across the desert was not a new experience for these much traveled men. After Gnid had watched his teacher help with the loading of their 20 camels and observed him volunteer to drive their own animal, he exclaimed, "Teacher, is there anything that you cannot do?" Jesus, Gnat, you can't shut up. No. Jesus only smiled and saying, "The teacher surely is not without humor in the eyes of a
Honor,
terrified
honor.
honor." Okay, and the teacher is surely not without honor in the eyes of a dignity diligent
Diligent pupil.
pupil.
Diligent.
And so they sat for so they set forth for the ancient city of Ur.
Okay, Ur's down near the bottom, down close to where Dalmatia was, right? The Caligastrian
That's
100.
where Abraham was from.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Diane, would you take the next one?
Jesus was much interested in the early history of Ur, the birthplace of Abraham, and he was equally fascinated with the ruins and traditions of Susa, so much so that Gonad and Ganad extended their stay in these parts 3 weeks in order to afford Jesus more time to conduct his investigations and also to provide the better opportunity to persuade him to go back to India with them. Ulterior motives.
What was he investigating? You're on mute.
I'm sorry, Susa, the ruins at Susa. He was
Ancient ruins.
ancient ruins. Yeah. It was at Ur that Ganad had a long talk with Jesus regarding the difference between knowledge, wisdom, and truth. Got a term tested. And he was greatly charmed with the saying of the Hebrew wise men, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all your quests for knowledge, get understanding. Exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you to honor if you will but embrace her. That is true. Worship and wisdom, right?
At last, the day came for the separation. They were all brave, especially the lad, but it was a trying ordeal. They were tearful of eye, but courageous of heart. And bidding his teacher farewell, Ganad said, "Farewell, teacher, but not forever. When I come again to Damascus, I will look for you. I love you, for I think the Father in heaven must be something like you. At least I know you are much like what you have told me about him. I will remember your teaching, but most of all, I will never forget you." Said the Father, "Farewell to a great teacher, one who has made us better and helped us to know God." And Jesus replied, "Peace be upon you, and may the blessing of the Father in heaven ever abide with you." And Jesus stood on the shore and watched as the small boat carried them out to their anchored ship. Thus the Master left his friends from India at Carax,
Correct. That's correct.
never to see them again in this world, nor were they in this world ever to know that the man who later appeared as Jesus of Nazareth was the same friend they had just taken leave of, Joshua, their teacher.
So they never knew that Jesus was actually their
Mark,
teacher, right?
a Damascus scribe.
Damascus scribe. Pam, would you take the next one, please,
In
dear?
India, Ganad grew up to become an influential man, a worthy successor of his eminent father, and he spread abroad many of the noble truths which he had learned from Jesus, his beloved teacher. Later on in life, when Ganad heard of the strange teacher in Palestine who terminated his career on a cross, though he recognized the similarity between the gospel of this son of man and the teachings of this Jewish teacher, it never occurred to him that these two were actually the same person.
He never made that connection that Jesus was his
Boy.
teacher, did he? All right, Gary, you get the last long one.
See, God straightening you out with all my abuse.
That's right.
Thus ended that chapter in the life of the Son of Man, which might be termed the mission of Joshua the teacher.
Correct.
Okay, we did pretty good. 6:59. Let me change the share to
Yeah,
the
very good.
printer. We did got completely done, didn't we? All right, here's the share. I think I'll do the prayer tonight. Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father, and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By this same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebadon, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
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 And y'all remember, I won't be here Thursday.
Okay.
We'll meet again next Tuesday. Can't be helped.
Long
And
stretch.
yeah, unfortunately. Okay, so thanks everyone at home for coming. Please come see us again. All right.
Okay.
For sure.
Take
Thank
care.
you,
Bye
Rob.
bye.
Good night,
Okay. Good
everybody.
night, everybody.
Love you
Good
guys.
night.
You too.
You too.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.